At the time, I doubt anybody thought a decade later it would have been the last time the Edmonton Oilers were in the playoffs. But indeed it was in the spring of 2006. Our next guest was a part of that cup team that went all the way to the Stanley Cup final. Since then, he has been back to the Stanley Cup final twice, winning both times. And is looking to make another long playoff run this season as a member of the Minnesota Wild. Jarrett Stoll joins us now. Stoley, how you doing?
Good, Greg. Good, man. Thanks for having me on again. It's been a while.
It has been a while. It's interesting, and I'm sure when that season ended, most of the play. Okay, well, now we're back in the playoffs. This is great. I don't think anybody in the right mind thought that would be the last time there was a playoff game at Rexall. You scored the first overtime winner that year for the Edmonton Oilers. You've won Stanley Cups in your career now twice, but is that goal the biggest goal you've ever scored?
At that time, it definitely was. To date, there's been a couple. Maybe the series clinching goal against Vancouver in 2012 was probably my biggest to date. But going back at that year, it was we were such a special team. You know, we weren't supposed to make it anywhere near where we made it. I think we played Detroit in the first round, and obviously we were an 8 seed and they were the 1 seed. And we just had such a hardworking kind of blue collar team that just found a way to keep winning games and get it to the Stanley Cup final. But to score a goal in Rexall in overtime in front of those fans in that city, for the Edmonton Oilers was awesome. It was such a special moment, and having family and friends there, and to go up 2-1 in the series, I think it was cool, very cool moment.
You mentioned a hardworking team. Like obviously, Chris Pronger on the back end was a Hall of Famer whenever he's eligible, or is a Hall of Famer now. And he dominated, playing so many minutes. But the work ethic, Fernando Pisani was unbelievable that year. That line of Torres and him, yourself, Sean Horkoff was incredible. Smith, you go down the list. Where did that collective hard work come from? Like, was there one guy, or was it just a bunch of, like, everybody seemed to look at the guy to be beside him and said, man, I have to match his work ethic?
Yeah, we cared so much about each other. We were a very, very close team. We did a lot of stuff, obviously on the ice, but off the ice as well, to get together and become brothers pretty quick. We had an old, they weren't old at the time, but they were our older guys on the team that were our core leadership group. And, you start with our captain, Jason Smith, Ethan Morrow, Steve Staios, Ryan Smith. Like, those were great, great leaders and great guys for me to look up to. I was a young guy at that time, and guys like me and Rafi and Hemmer, and we just had great guys to look up to that way. And they worked hard on the ice, in the gym. We're very, very good pros coming to the rink every day with the right attitude, no matter what the schedule was, what the standings were. If we were in a bad stretch, they would come to the rink positive, make sure we were in the right mindset. And, it's great to learn from guys like that. And I take a lot of those lessons, that I learned back then, still today.
Jarrett Stoll joins us. Do you have a favorite memory at Rexall Place, whether it was that run or, times playing with the Kings, New York, anybody else during your career?
Yeah. Well, I played my first NHL game there. That was, on a personal note, that was probably number one. I flew in from Hamilton, when the minor league team was the Hamilton Bulldogs, and got to play got to play right away with Jason Chimera and Georgie Larocque. So that was cool. That was a special moment, and to play that game, get a win, and eventually kind of start your career. The overtime goal against Detroit was one of them. I think when you look back, everybody on that team is probably going to say that 06 run. There were so many memories, so many battles that we had to go through, and those you can't count all of them, but they're all there.
Going back to your first game, you fly in from. So did you fly and play the same day?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. So now, in high, was that maybe better? I don't know. Like, are you sitting on that flight from Hamilton all the way to Edmonton, kind of visioning, or did you know on the flight you were going to play, or did you not know you'd play until you landed and got to the rink?
Yeah, they told me I was going to play. So yeah, I kind of had a little bit of a nap. Somehow I got to sleep a little bit on the plane, and then it happened so quick. So yeah, you're probably not thinking as much as you would if you're in the day before, 2 days before. So it was awesome. We actually played against the Minnesota Wild in that game. And my first shift, I remember I got an assist. Jason Chimura scored, and I got an assist, so it was pretty exciting.
On your first shift?
Yeah, I remember I got caught out there. Like, it ended up being like a minute and a half, maybe close to two-minute shift, and I don't think Mac T was too happy about it, but we ended up scoring scoring a goal, so it was cool.
Now, so you're playing with Chimera, one of the fastest skaters in the National Hockey League, and then one of the toughest guys in George. Like, when you're lined up with George Larocque, you're like, okay, you know what? I can do whatever I want as a rookie. I got the toughest guy in the league beside me.
Yeah. No, it was funny. I think it was more funny playing with him than anything. You know how Georgie is. He can crack jokes or, you know, do whatever out there. So it was fun playing with him. Just get him the puck. And I think we can all remember George cycling it to himself, working the corners back and forth in that building. And me and Chimmer would just sit back and watch this guy. But it was fun. It was a good time.
Well, hey, you were on the team when George scored his hat trick, or were you gone then?
I wasn't. No, I know I wasn't.
Okay. Oh, man. Nah, he went bananas that night. And rightfully so, man. Scoring a hat. There's a lot of great scorers who never score a hat trick in the NHL. So.
Yeah, that poor Glass back in the day, he'd always jump into it. Yeah.
Jared Stoll joins us. Now, you know, you've traveled around to, you know, in LA and had tons of success. And you talked about when you came to Edmonton and, you know, learning from different guys. Adam Oates, I know you talked about how you really learned, you know, the art of face-offs with him for a brief time. But one thing that stands out of my mind, Jared, for you vividly was I remember I was at a charity golf tournament with you and you were carrying around a ladder and it was one of those workout ladders. And I mean, you were like, yeah, man, I got to improve my foot speed. And even in the summer at a golf charity tournament, you had that in your hotel room working on it. Where did you get, because that's just a natural work ethic. Guys either do it or they don't. Coaches can tell everybody to do it. Did you have a teammate give you that insight, or was that your father? Where did that come from to make you become the skater you were? Because when you were drafted, people didn't rave about your skating.
Yeah, well, I think just, you know, Mac T was great for me, you know, teaching me. He was great with the face-offs, with the work ethic, blocking shots, stuff like that. You know, you can do it anywhere, and it's, you know, those certain workout tools or things that you can take on the road with you in your hotel room, you know, whether you're traveling or not, I'm sure you could find a field anywhere in the world to do stuff like that on. And it's simple things, you know. You can always work on different parts of your game. And, you know, Craig always told me that. And as part of the face-off kind of aspect of it, he would always say, if you want to, you know, a minute or two extra ice time, you know, be good on face-offs, win a face-off. And so I always remember that when he told me that. And then my foot speed, obviously, I needed to work on that coming out of junior and in my skating ability. And, you know, now it's just a faster and faster league out there, so you got to keep up. And, yeah, just, you know, my dad was great, too. He was very, very hard on me at a young age. He always coached me growing up and, you know, made me work hard and be positive and don't ever take anything for granted.
Jared Stoll joins us. And Jared, in your second full season in NHL, you scored 68 points in that year all the way to the cup run. You know, you had 22 goals. You were on the power play with the one-timer on the point. You had the heavy shot. And, you know, you probably thought, did you think at that point, okay, you know what, now I'm going to be a goal scorer? Was it hard not to come close to that? I know you scored 20 again with the LA Kings, but you definitely kind of morphed into a, you know, a real hard-ass checking player who could help out on the power play, but never a real consistent top six guy. Some guys might have gotten sidetracked by the success you had early, maybe thought there was something different. How did you stay grounded to realize what you had to do to stay in the NHL?
Well, if you want to win and you want to be on a good team, there's role players that you can't win with one or two lines or two or three, you know, really, really good players. You need role players. You need guys that can penalty kill, block shots. There's very various parts of the game where, you know, in order to win or win a Stanley Cup, you got to have all those going together. And I learned that. I knew that. I knew I probably wouldn't get that many points again. You know, everything kind of fell into place that year, and I got a lot of power play time, and it was probably the main threat on the power play where I would get a lot of shots because of that. And that was great. I had a lot of fun that year, and you know, scoring 20 goals is pretty cool personally, but you know, you play to win and you accept any role possible. And to this day, I'll accept any role possible as long as, you know, I'm playing and helping the team win and, you know, trying to win another Stanley Cup. So that's the thing. You know, you hope guys can accept roles. Some guys can, some guys can't. You know, it's just the way you're made up, I guess.
Jared Stoll joins us. You came into the NHL. Your first ever game was at Rexall Place in 2002, 2003. A young guy back then who was scared of rabbits on the golf course is what I learned. And now you're
everywhere.
Oh, man, I never hear a guy scream that loud in my life. Oh, I still laugh about that story. You're not an old guy in life by any stretch, but 33 years of age now. You've been to the Stanley Cup final three times. You've won it twice. How do you look back at your career and when a place like Rexall closes where your career began, even though you're not playing there, does it mean something different to you that building will close down?
Yeah, I think so. It's so many good memories, so many victories in that building. Not only from when my time there, but obviously in history, the Stanley Cups that were won on that ice and, the fans and the support that City of Edmonton gave the Oilers in that building for so many years. It was awesome playing in there. Very, very special to play in there for so many years. And, it was pretty cool playing my first game in that building against the Minnesota Wild and then playing my last game in that building as a member of the Minnesota Wild. So it was kind of weird how that comes full circle. But, it's just, just a special building that means so much to so many people in Edmonton. The organization is great, first class, and, all the history that goes with it. It's just sad to see it go, but there's a new chapter, ahead with the new building. And I just hope the boys can get a win tomorrow night and go out the right way and, have a positive ending.
Now, quickly looking to your team, Minnesota, I was reading, Torchetti and just how you've kind of really fit into your role now in Minnesota and how he uses you. I know you started the season in New York and then first time ever really in New York, he was on waivers, but it's kind of like a trade and mid-season for you. How was that to adapt and how long did it take to get comfortable?
Well, it was different. It was obviously a mid-season trade or waiver wire. It's when I got traded from Edmonton to LA, it was in the summer. So yeah, it was different. You got to pick up right away and try to get as many clothes as possible and figure out your living arrangements and you're living in a hotel for a little bit and then figure out your life, so to speak. And it was different. It was coming to a team, you always want to it's always about the teammates and who you're with and you're becoming a member of a different team, and guys were great. It's us, the hockey guys, they're pretty much very, very similar wherever you go on different teams. And I was very, very comfortable here right away, and I just tried to be myself. That's I don't think you can fit in on a team very quickly or at all if you're not yourself, and that's just what I tried to do.
Well, Jared, I think you guys need one point to officially clinch, but it's pretty much in, and then you go on a postseason run. You've won a cup coming out of the number 8 seed, if you want to call it. Minnesota last year won the first round. As you know, you've won going all the way to the cup in Edmonton. Quickly, just give me your thoughts on your team heading into the postseason, and what do you feel the strengths are of the Wild for you guys to pull what people would seem an upset off in the first round?
Mm-hmm. Well, they got some experience winning a playoff round or two. They beat St. Louis last year, which obviously everybody knows St. Louis is a big, heavy, strong team. They haven't had much success in the playoffs, but for the Wild to beat them is pretty impressive. And it looks like if we get in, we're probably going to be playing them or Dallas. So again, a very, very, very big task, but it's a fast, skilled team, and the league's pretty fast nowadays. But we got some great skill up front, not the biggest team, but guys that can move the back end, our defense can all move the puck, can all skate. And we got Devin Dubnyk in net, obviously, who, gets very, very hot. And he did that last year. He's done that for us this year. So you never know. You make the playoffs, you have a hot goaltender, some timely scoring, and, good special teams, and you can pull off some upsets. And you win one round, you win two rounds, and it's amazing what confidence can do. And, get the boys going and get them fired up, and then be a great place to play in the playoffs with this the building in Minnesota and how well the fans support this team here in Minnesota. So it's I'm excited. Hopefully we can get in here and do some damage whoever we're playing against.
Speaking of crowds getting into it, 2006, of course, Rexall was rocking with the crowd. Do you have one, maybe the first time you remember, like, oh my God, this is pandemonium in here, in a good way when mm-hmm. you were during that playoff run?
Um, Well, probably our first home game back was the game I had the overtime winner. I think it was game three against Detroit.
Yeah.
How loud it got that night. Also game six when I think it was Alish scored late in game six to go ahead and to actually realize that we're gonna beat this team. And the guys that Detroit had, you know, they had, I think that was Steve Yzerman's last game ever. And he was an idol of mine. So that was cool to, you know, to shake his hand at the end of a playoff series, beating them, you know, knowing that was probably his last game. That was a surreal moment. And, you know, they had 124 points, I think it was, in the regular season. And we probably had, as an eighth seed, I think we had maybe 92, 94, something like that. So it was a big feat. Just shows you can do anything, and you know, crazy things can happen.
Well, Stoli, always good to catch up with you. Best of luck in Minnesota, and I know you because you're playing won't be one of the 200 former players who will be in attendance when the building officially closes down. But something tells me you might try to watch the ceremony somewhere on television Wednesday night.
I think I will. I think I will for sure.
Have a good one, man. Good to catch up with you.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it, bud.